This is a podcast from the people behind the world's longest running football fans podcast, The Celtic Underground. You can subscribe and listen anywhere that you get your podcasts. You can have a free subscription where this lands straight in your email inbox, and you can go to theCelticUnderground.substack.com. You can also have a paid subscription where you get some additional content, including the In Conversation podcast every week end and the Celtic Written, which is basically a rehash of the E-Tim's Rumour Mill, oops, from Glenn Tintin from years ago. Anyway, this is me, Harry Brady, with this week's podcast. Celtic have progressed to the semi-final of the League Cup at the weekend, and now we are into the third of the four competitions that we'll be competing in this year. Europa League game. I'm sort of halfway between UEFA Cup and Europa League there. Is tomorrow night as we're recording this, so for most people listening, it'll be tonight's game. So we had Kilmarnock, then Thistle, and obviously Thistle are a lower standard, and now we've got Europa League coming up. For those people who are quite anxious, I know people have commented about the fact we've not done, just before we start, not done a podcast about the demonstrations. We've touched on it. Matthew and I touched on it last week. It's really quite simple. I want to do a podcast on that in its own right, and I want a variety of voices on it because I think that's healthy, rather than just saying, yeah, that's great, let's all follow it. So within our team, so I want to have three or four people, and it's just through circumstances we've not had three or four people available to do it since it all started. So we're not avoiding it. We are just wanting to make sure that it's properly done. And if you want to know for the older listener why I'm looking like Ronnie Corbett with my producer's chair, it's because we're doing decorating and this is my son's room, and I normally do the podcast somewhere else, but he's sleeping there, and as we're recording this, he'll go to bed at some point while it's being recorded, so I can hardly be recording it while he's lying in bed behind. So I'm actually in a chair with a big sheet over it because this room's in the middle of getting painted. Hope you like teal velvet. That's the colour on the wall.
We've got that in our son's room. But, you know, I'm disappointed now because I was looking forward to your shaggy dog story.
My story that I keep interrupting, that I never... The only, as I'm older now, that I appreciate, at the time I used to think, why is he ramble? Just tell the joke. And now only as I'm older, I realise that the whole thing was the joke.
The whole thing was a joke. Masterclasses, I have to say.
Anyway,
as a digressor, I would say they're masterclasses.
Yes. Anyway, where were we? Let's get back to the story.
The producer.
So, Thistle game. I was out and about, so I've only seen the goals against Thistle, and probably about, and I actually saw the last 20 minutes of the game in actuality, and then the goals. It was only Thistle,
but it wasn't as sticky apart from the pitch, where it was like a long grass, you know, the rugby grass they were saying. But I was over in Ireland and had to beg. It was I was in County Cavan, and you're having to beg them to put it on. So they said, right, you know, they'd four wee different rooms. I said, see if you go down there, right? And it's like me, my
was it Fergus McCann? That sounded like your Fergus McCann impersonation.
So they stuck us in this. It's even smaller than my telly at home, which I'm always complaining to my wife about. When are we getting a big telly? And I think I've maybe told you before, she says, to me, the size of your television is inversely proportional to the size of your IQ. So we've got a tiny wee telly, right?
In a Ronnie Corbett fashion, I did think that was going somewhere else.
All right. No, I keep it clean. So the guy said, right, you want to watch that for? Because I think it was at the same time as, was it Arsenal Man City? Arsenal Man City. Was roughly
I think it was.
Half anyway. I said, no, it's Celtic. And, you know, you think everybody goes, oh, you know, Celtic and Ireland. They just don't give a stuff, really.
No.
By and large. It's like they like the idea of Celtic. Ah, it's like, you know, or your religion or whatever. None of them will go into the church, but it's like, oh, yeah, I'm a Catholic. Your cult, yeah, yeah. They're cultural Celtic supporters. They're cultural Catholics. Uh-huh. But no, actually, I'm going to take 2 hours out of my day and watch Celtic.
That's rubbish. That's football from Jockland, which is garbage.
I know. Who are they playing? There's all of that kind of stuff. Partick Thistle. When it's like, who's Partick Thistle? You know, like, well, I fair enjoyed it because I had a few of the, you know what I mean, the old Guinness, and it's always better than Ireland. So it was fine. What to me it is, Brendan Rodgers is trying to nurse this team back to health. He's just trying to nurse the team back to health. He's got guys in two of the three positions that he wanted to have those kind of guys. And he's thinking, to me, he looks engaged again. To me, he thinks, I can make something of this. Mm-hmm. Nobody talked last week about the empty feeling that the transfer window left him. And I understood entirely. You think, where is this going to go? And now he's seen Tonetsky, probably not pronounced that right.
I was listening to the Radio Scotland post-game podcast this morning. Paddy Bonner, in the space of about 5 minutes, pronounced it four different ways, so don't feel bad about it.
So he's got him, he's got Iheanacho, you know, like, no, like somebody says, people are pronouncing his name as if he's Iheanacho. As opposed to Iheanacho. Have I got that one right? I think I have.
No, Iheanacho. But is it not, suddenly he's changed his name, well, suddenly they're using just Kelechi.
Well, are they?
Brendan is.
Maybe he's no confident that he's going to no trip over it at one point. Yes. Kelechi, right? Well, anyway, it was very notable because I was listening, running to the pub, but you can still get sounds on your phone and all that. I was listening to his pre-match, and he said, let's be honest about this. He said, if this guy was where he was 2 years ago, he would never be at Celtic. He said, this guy is a player, a quality player, that we've only got him because the last 18 months haven't gone as he would like it to go. So I think Brendan's energised with the thought, I've got a proper centre-forward here if I can get him going.
I've got a top half of the EPL. Because that's when he was at his best with Brendan. So his best ever season was under Brendan. And when he was at his best with Brendan, Leicester were top half of the Premiership. So he's thinking, I've got a top half of the Premiership striker.
You know, he's pinching himself the very fact that he could get going. And he's made the right type of start that I think he's winning supporters on side. So he'll feel good about himself. It's almost self-perpetuating, isn't it?
Yep.
The fans feel good about him. He feels good about himself. The fans feel good about him. You know, and that's the way that you can kind of move up.
And I think with Tonetki, Brendan's enthused because he's got what he needs, which is a guy with pace who goes to the byline.
Yeah, and so much more. I think we were saying in our chat on Sunday watching the game, is like, what I've loved about him is his variety. He keeps defenders guessing because, you know, I think maybe that's, a lot of people said that he just kind of lost the kind of drive, but also the very fact, players knew that he was going to come inside, players knew he was going to drift off the right. So after you've been doing that for a year, people maybe get wise to it. Whereas what I like about Tonetki, I think I've got that right there, Tonetki, is he was sometimes going to the byline, he was sometimes cutting inside, he was sometimes trying to just play a little through pass, you know, like you just didn't quite know how he was going to, like, or what he was going to do with the ball. That's what you need. You need to keep defenders guessing, and he's been keeping defenders guessing. I love that variety. That's what really excites me.
What I liked from the bits I saw, when we were attacking, we were more direct in our attacking.
Definitely. I suppose that's when you have a winger who will drive, you know, who will drive forward. And in fairness to Yang, when we could see him because of the shade, because of the way the sun was shining and he was in shade, you couldn't quite tell. See the first goal. Nobody knew. He never knew. Nobody seemed to know if it was in. It was such a weird, there was no celebration. Even the punters, nobody could really quite tell.
There was no noise in the crowd, because I've watched it back. There's no noise in the crowd. Because actually, the angle that he heads it, it does look like it's hit the side netting from where the Celtic fans are. Plus, they're looking straight into the, you know, with the and it's only because the Celtic players are celebrating. And of course, they stop because nobody's celebrating. Has it been chopped off?
Exactly, because we were saying, what's happened? And the commentators didn't know either. They weren't sure either. Nobody was. But it was fine. It was fine. It was like, it was much better. Do you remember that famous one? Was that under Rodgers? And it looked like it was going extra time. And Griffiths scored, was it the Scottish Cup? It was, they just come back from the old-fashioned winter shutdowns. Ah, the old winter shutdowns. They just come back and they were really...
Was it Far Hill you're talking about? Far Hill, against
yeah.
Yeah, that was the one where... God, I was behind the goals in that one. And was that the one where Griffiths got really badly brought down and the referee didn't give a penalty? Or the referee did give a penalty from the halfway line?
He got the goal anyway. Because you thought this is going extra time. So it wasn't one of those days. It wasn't one of those days where they were having to grind it out.
Yeah.
They won with plenty to spare. Good goals. Great goal. Look, great to see Tanetke and Iheanacho. I need to say Iheanacho because I've forgotten how to pronounce the first name now. Like,
call him Ian. Just call him Ian.
I saw him getting described as Nacho Provo.
But
in one ex-post.
I think you might be right about Brendan being enthused again.
He is.
He's got his frustrations off his chest at that press conference. He's been able to call, let's call a spade, he's been able to call Peter Lawwell a coward without having to say Peter Lawwell's a coward, right? Because everybody knows that's who he's talking about. So he's been able to do that. He's got it off his chest. He's done it in a way that can't get him fired because he turns up at the meeting, board meeting, and says, I never called. You know, he would be able to use the defence of, I never called the chairman a coward. I said, whoever wrote that story, a coward. Do you think whoever wrote that story is a coward? Or do you think it's okay to write that about the Celtic manager? Well, nobody can then say, oh, I think it's a great idea to write that about the Celtic manager. So he's put himself in a position where he can get that out there and nobody can go at him. The support, he's now got that the support, even the element of the Green Brigade who never really took him back well because they called him a rat. And now, well, it's the team. If we want to show that we're doing this and we don't want to harm the team, then we've got to be all in with supporting the team against the board. So he's not got that.
Again, he made the point of saying that on Sunday, didn't he? He said, they've not forgotten about the team. The boards haven't forgotten about the team.
In some ways, from his position, couldn't he be better?
No. And this is the guy who presided over the most egregious European exit in Celtic 63 years at this level, and he's not getting a stick for it.
Well, because it couldn't be better.
Couldn't it be better?
Rangers are shit. The fans are, let's back the team. He's got his grievance out in public.
Mm. And he's got a couple of players that have got real
And he's got a couple of players who look like they could do something. And actually, my gut feel is that the board will spend money in January.
And he's also got, because it was...
So he can't lose?
You know, it was notable pushing forward Colby Donovan as well. So he's liking him. He's liking... He likes a young project. He's got a young project. He's got new signings. He's got a career to revive. Oh, it's all... It's all Brendan.
Like, yeah, his wife loves Scotland anyway, so... He's not, you know, so there's a happy home environment, no doubt, right? And then you're looking at thinking, if you are someone who, in a footballing sense, likes a challenge, you are looking going, actually, the defence has been solid. The one part of the squad that, okay, it might not have been strengthened to the way that we would like, but as I've mentioned before, take away the injuries at the moment. You've got Alistair Johnson, Ralston, and now Donovan for right back position. I think he likes Donovan because Donovan's 6 foot and pacey. And he's Scottish, so he ticks that. I like him that.
He digs in. And he's even got Dane Murray thinking himself, like, well, if I need, you know, I can bring in another young. There's some kind of green shoots, and I know people maybe call us, or as Joe McHugh would do, that's what he's doing to Pat. So if you want to call me, having said all that, I'm pretty shit scared of it tomorrow night.
Well, so I was going to say, if you're the manager, you've got that defence that you might look at and go, well, that's solid. It's marginally better than it was last season because I've got Saracchi and I've got Kieran Tierney. Really important that Kieran Tierney played 90 minutes. I understand that the club, when he came in, looked at him and thought, we just need to build his fitness from a robust perspective. He could play 90 minutes from the get-go. But what we don't want to have, 90 minutes and then a niggling muscle injury that has him out for 3 weeks.
3 months. I know, you don't want to lose him. I think
playing for 2 months and then a niggling injury has him out for 3 weeks and then playing for 2 months and then a niggling injury. So what they had a programme for him to take about 2.5, 3 months to get to 90 minutes.
It was his first since January 2024. Real Betis, I think it was.
Yeah, so from my perspective, that's what I want. I want Kieran Tierney from October, November to the end of the season playing 90 minutes, and the only time he's out is the standard injury that anybody might get from a bad tackle or something like that.
Yeah, well, this is, well, people need to tell them, but we have this kind of bit, kind of discussion, quite a fevered discussion, don't we, about Kieran, or we have had.
Yeah.
We've said, I think they're doing the right thing. They're doing the right thing. Build it up. Like, it'll happen. And it has happened.
So if he's got that, and then he's looking actually going, do you know what? See with Tarek on the left and Ian up front. And then I'm looking for something to do with Saracchi, by the way. If I've got Iheanacho up front, Tarek on the left, he's got a bit of a challenge to do with the right-hand side because we didn't sign a right winger. So he's got Yang and Forrest, which is not his preferred option. But actually, he's then got, he's, he might be looking at midfield saying, actually, Ballot-Wisher's not. Ballot-Wisher is a number 10, so's Negrin. So, and actually, he maybe quite likes working on getting that right, that midfield right.
That is the sticking block, or the stumbling block. And it feels it, it remains the stumbling block, is the midfield. It just doesn't feel quite right. Hatate was better on Sunday, actually. Hatate was, he was more lively. He certainly looked engaged. Sometimes his engagement can be questionable.
For me, he's been giving the ball away too much. He's been trying too many of the fancy flick, single pass thing, and you think, no, because Negan's always going to lose possession of the ball. You need to do a bit more of holding on to it.
Yeah, I mean, I would like to see him, but he won't. Then he certainly, you do worry about where is it going for Engels and Bernardo. I mean, but Engels was second substitute on the other day because he brought on McCown first.
I don't think Bernardo's got any future.
No. But what's he even doing with Engels? He has to try and get him going somehow.
Yeah, and so what I've been looking up is Saracchi.
Kamenachi.
So Saracchi, I'm looking at the last time he was in the Uruguay. He played for Uruguay. In terms of having a decent, I can't find it. In terms of having a decent left-back backup, you've got a Uruguayan international as a left-back backup. So if you're Brendan, I think there's a lot of things you can be positive about, as I say, because it's sort of worked.
Do you think we're ever going to see Yamal Pusey?
I wouldn't be surprised if he goes back in January. So either he's arrived and we've... So it's one of three things. He's either arrived and Brendan's gone, no, he's a million miles. He's not as good as what we've got. I don't know why you brought him in. So that's option number one. Option number two, he's come in with a bad attitude.
I think that there's every chance of that. Did he know, have some sneering post when he was supposed to be coming here and then he quickly deleted it?
Oh, I don't know. I didn't see that.
It was like, oh, joy or something. I'm going on loan again or something. So somebody told me. But it was quickly deleted. So, mind you, even with things that are quickly deleted, somebody always takes a screenshot these days, don't you? You can't, can't put anything up for any length of time.
So, we have Europa League kicking off on Wednesday night. So you've been doing some.
I have.
Yeah. Some. So tell us how you pronounce Red Star Belgrade's name.
I've forgotten again now. I'm under pressure. It was. Oh, I was practicing all afternoon. Genuinely, I got this wee thing and I could press it. It was giving me the name, but now you're putting me under pressure. And Red Star Belgrade is how you pronounce it.
Something Savina, is it not?
Yeah, it's
Srevina.
Srevena Zveda or something. Zveda.
Zveda.
Because it was definitely Sir, because I was making sure I was trying to write it down phonetically so I would remember it. But I've lost the piece of paper, predictably. So only professionalism that you'll find.
I'm desperately trying to find out if there's a way on my phone to get the pronunciation.
I had that one as well. But 30 goals in 7 league games, all of them won.
Yep.
Our good friend and colleague Ross made a good point, though, that they're very much like Celtic in their own domestic environment. They really just kind of, they have oodles of possession.
I'm about to get the pronunciation of it, so carry on. They have oodles of possession. Yep.
Yeah, they have oodles of possession. So was their XG, was it 4? My good friend Martin O'Neill, he was rubbish in the XG today. I sent you that one, about his new book.
Yeah, but I mean, hold on. Let's see if I can get it. Hold on.
Yeah, I dug with a bone here.
Let's learn how to pronounce this name of a football club. They do basketball as well, but it's more famous for football. Serbian, in Serbia. So, Serbian pronunciation. Srevena. So essentially you could add an E between the C and the R. Srevena.
Zvezda.
Srevena Zvezda. In English, if you cannot pronounce Serbian perfectly, you can say Srevena Zvezda.
Srevena Zvezda.
Srevena Zvezda.
So
you can hear the Red Star Zvezda, Srevena.
Yeah, so Red Star Belgrade. So,
you are like Ronnie Corbett. Anyway,
So yes, Martin O'Neill was bad mouthing, but as I said to you, XG makes far more sense to me than Celtic's opponents have averaged 10 shots a game, 6 on target. Right? Okay. So,
it probably does, and it does with Red Star here because their XG. They're averaging XG of 4 per league game.
Yep.
Now, the only reason they're here, mind you, is because they blew it against a team that was making their debut in the Champions League qualifiers. Your Patos got...
So they're as bad as us, then?
This is atonement for the two clubs are trying to atone.
And this is the thing that something...
Both of them expected to be in the Champions League.
When people say things like, we've been rubbish in Europe and we've done it. Wait a minute. They will be saying, tough first game. We're playing Celtic, who finished in the top 22 of last season's Champions League and got through and almost knocked Bayern Munich out.
Yeah, I know. Although 50,000 apparently is a sellout. 50,000, that will be hostile. Will be hostile.
Yeah, so as Ross has said, that they're averaging 4 goals a game at home, XG just under 4 per 90 minutes, so their XG is 4 and they're scoring 4. They play 4-2-3-1. Their top goal scorer is 34-year-old Alexander Katai, and he scored 11 goals domestically.
And they've got the thing, was the other guy, the Muntovic,
Mielsen will be up against Donovan. Yeah,
is it Antovich or something? That's what's his name. But he's fulfilling a kind of lifelong ambition, you know, professional ambition to play for his boyhood club.
Yeah. So it will be challenging. It will be challenging because we are going overseas and so we're playing a team we're not used to. It will be challenging because we are still a developing team, as we just talked about. I know it was only Partick Thistle, but we played better against Partick Thistle than we did against Kilmarnock. I'm quite sure we'll play better against Hibs, I think it is, on Saturday. Yeah, so, I'm sure. So it's a developing team. It's not quite the strength of depth that it should have been that we had this time last year. And as you said, it's a 50,000 sellout, so it's going to be a hostile atmosphere to play in. So all of those makes it challenging.
Yeah, I mean,
but if we as a support believe that we should be a Champions League team, then we should be playing at this level in Europa League and winning, or looking to win.
There is such negativity surrounding the team. I mean, I've stepped up my watching of other podcasts, Celtic podcasts, to see what's out there. Just interested in people's opinions now, and we seem to have gone for like. At the turn of the year, thinking this was a good Celtic team, to now think, I've been reading stuff and listening to stuff today, and it's like hardly even a Conference League team now. It just seems to. We're really in the grip.
Yes, a grip of a negativity, and I think sometimes the Celtic fan media can be as guilty as anything else for. And I say this, and we've got Ross on our site, who's very good at telling you what a player's like before he arrives. So this isn't a having a go at people that tell everybody what a player's going to be.
He's got it right about your man Tonetke.
He has, but that's what I was going to say. I read a lot of stuff about Tonetke that he was rubbish, or he wasn't going to be a good signing for us. That we were overpaying because, and we were only buying him because it was the last week of the window and we were overpaying, and it really is only a £1-2 million player, and therefore it sort of compounded the negativity about the poor transfer window. Same with Iheanacho. You know, if you'd listened, we were getting the next Carlton Cole.
In terms of his size,
and you know,
I bought into all that. That's what my brother says. He says, but you don't know. Somebody sends you a footage and says, "Oh, this is him last week," or what? And he says it might be 2 years ago. Nobody know. You know, the provenance is some of this kind of footage that you see. You just really can't trust anyone.
I remember somebody just before he signed put up a clip of him missing a chance at Middlesbrough where he'd actually taken the ball from the edge of the box, run at the pitch, and looked like he just ran out of gas and ballooned it over the bar. And looks overweight.
That was when you saw constantly again and again and again. He thought, it's one chance, it's one miss.
Yeah, and two things about that. One is, by all accounts, part of his challenge last season was he was injured pre-season. So he missed the whole of pre-season and then was never fit because he wasn't playing football for Seville. He wasn't even getting game time with them. So by the time he gets to January and goes on loan to Middlesbrough, he's lacking fitness. And the other thing, there is a difference between a player who's out of form and a player who's just not got it. I mean, you can watch players. I'll not do it because you gave me a hard time before we came on. You can watch players and I think you can watch a player enough. Like, so yeah, right. Well, I'll use these two examples. Difference between Balak Wisher and Shin Yamada. Right, Balak Wisher looks to me, from what I've seen of, there's something about him. Yes. He's needing to find out how he fits in the Celtic team, and Brendan needs to get him to fit in the Celtic team.
Yes.
Shin Yamada,
yeah.
I only needed 15 minutes of him to know he's not SPFL Premiership level player for any club. He doesn't know where he's supposed to be on the football pitch. You can see he doesn't know where he's supposed to be. So he's not a player who's just not, it's just not right for him yet. He's feeling a bit uncomfortable, but there's something about him. He's a guy that will run around he's the opposite. He will run around very enthusiastically, but he doesn't know where he's supposed to be on a football pitch. And I think you can see that after 15 minutes of this. So that's what I mean. So
No, I know you're. I know you're saying like there's something to unlock.
Yeah. So there's a lot of negative, and I think
an awful lot to unlock with Shin, your man. Yes. Or
so I think a lot of the negativity that the Celtic fans have towards the window, we didn't sign players in time, so that we had key positions missing going into the Champions League that we'd known about since January. So it's not like it's a surprise, and then it's compounded by Jota's injury. We don't make those signings, so people are even more pissed off. And then you're getting the people who do all the analysis and subscribe to Y Scout telling you before they've arrived, don't know why we're signing Ballot Wisher, because he's not because he either plays left wing or number 10. And if we sign a striker, we've already got Maeda, and then apparently we're going to sign Tenetki. So we've already got people who can play left wing. So I don't know why we've got Ballot Wisher. And then when we sign Tenetki, don't know why we've signed. So there's a lot of negativity that people, yeah. Well, even the money we did spend was shit. Tight mentality.
Yeah. You can understand all that. You can understand all that. And at the moment, you've got a support against the board. They're trying to get rid of the board. So it's not a happy home necessarily. It's not harmonious. It's not a harmonious environment. That's how it is, that the board brought that on themselves. So he'll slap it up them, you know.
But equally...
By the way, see when you mention... There's an interesting one. Does Maeda play tomorrow night? You mentioned Maeda there.
Well, I was thinking about that today, about the team, and particularly on the back of what Ross had said about they play 4-2-3-1. So one of my slight concerns about the team that we have been playing of Maeda, McGregor and Nygren is, and I know lots of people call him Nygren.
Hatate, you mean Hatate, sorry.
Sorry, Hatate. No. To mention those, to then get on to Maeda. To mention those three, is I think that will be a dilemma for Brendan, that if they play 4-2-3-1, that is a number of people in the middle of the pitch. Because you've got the two holding flares, and then depending on how they are three behind the one set up, you could have a number of people. So he might have a concern about giving the ball, how Nygren and Hatate are more inclined to give the ball away. So that might be a concern of his.
Oh, yeah.
So that could then impact how he plays in the front three as a consequence of that.
So somebody was saying to me the other day, and I thought, no, I don't think... I take it Maeda just can't. Can Maeda just no play off the right?
You know, so that's what I was then thinking. He has played on the right. If you think there was times when Jota under...
Yeah.
Under Ange the first time and under Brendan this time, there was times when Jota played on the left and Maeda played on the right.
Yeah. I'm not going to try and look it up because it's no great viewing kind of thing. So
we've done
this before. We've got stick before for looking at our phone, so we'll stop that. You've already done one of those.
I know, I've done one of them just trying to get Red Star's Serbian pronunciation.
Yeah,
we then got it and then chucked it, so what was the point?
But guy, Sacha Distel, kind of like a syrupy tones, was quite something.
But...
Serbian Sacha Distel.
I wonder whether that's an option to play Tenetki on the left, Maeda on the right, and Iheanacho through the middle. Because that sort of gives you two options. It gives you a lot of pace down the sides to chase onto, and it gives you a guy who can hold the ball up.
Yep.
In Iheanacho, if you're wanting to play out and over the top, it gives you that option. The challenge, obviously, is do you then, you're then in a situation where you've got Maeda, who's not a, you know, it is a left-sided player that you played on the right, playing in front of Donovan, who, much as we both said we like him, is still what, if he starts tomorrow night, it will be three Celtic starts into his professional football career.
Yeah, although the one thing you would hope from Maeda is he would give him kind of defensive cover. So that's maybe not a bad shout.
Yeah, he'll give you a lot of cover in front.
Defensive cover than Yang.
Mm-hmm. I mean, the alternative is you've Tenetki starting on the left, Yang on the right, and either one of Iheanacho or Maeda through the middle, and you then actually have something different to come off the bench.
Yeah. I thought you were going to say the alternative would have been actually even playing Engels ahead of, if you don't want Hatate and Negrin, who might lose the ball, you maybe need to sacrifice one of those two. It'd be interesting if he will sacrifice one of those two, because it's, they can be too exposed. They can leave you too exposed. They can leave Callum McGregor too exposed. I mean, it seems to be there's open season in Callum McGregor. It seems to be a lot of people think he's on his way out now. It's a bit premature for that. He's not a great start to the season.
No, but I think the not great start to the season was the lack of options he had in the front three. If you're in, as I keep saying, if you're in, you know, anybody listening to this playing five sides, if you've got the ball and the guys who are the potential passes in front of you, you think are not very good, but you know that your mate behind you is actually, you think is the best player in the team, or you think, you might think you're the best player in the team and he's the second best. Yeah, even at five a side, what are you going to do? You're going to turn and pass it to him?
Who are you going to call?
But exactly.
No, like, and if you remember, one of the early games of the season was quite striking. Callum McGregor chewing out Ida. Do you remember what game was that? He was chewing out Ida. Was that in Kazakhstan or the home leg against Almaty?
I think it was.
Karat. I think it was. About the runs he was making or no making, about how he couldn't hold up he wasn't holding up the ball.
I just wonder whether, I said on the last week's podcast with Matthew that I think the challenge for Brendan is, you know, it hit home to me when, I can't remember what game it was, one of the last games of the season on Sky. I think it was against Aberdeen? Anyway, Hatate scores and they say that's his ninth goal of the season. And I thought, wow, for a team that scored the number of goals we've scored this season and you're most of the time being played as Celtic's number 10, to only get 9 goals is a pretty poor return. Brendan's first season, he had O'Reilly 20 goals and 20 assists. And I do wonder whether last season he's looking at the midfield thinking, I'm getting goals, but I need more goals out of the midfield. And the problem is, he gets the goal, he'll get goals from Negrin and assists from Hatate. So he's effectively using two players to fill the role of Matt O'Reilly. So that's what I was saying about, I wonder if you play Engels in the middle, certainly to start with, because what you don't want to do is lose an early goal. So you want to have more control in the middle of the pitch. Might that impact you then saying, well, I'm going to then play Tonecchio on the left and Maeda on the right, because Maeda can cut inside and maybe get me a goal more than Yang would.
I remember having this conversation with Postecoglou, and I was saying, would you ever consider the, excuse the expression, but the double pivot? And he said, no, he would never have played. You know, if you think back in it, it was McGregor, the one, and then, for instance, to start with, Rogic and Turnbull.
Yeah.
He would never play, the two out of the three would never be sitters.
Yep.
It was always one sitter and two. And this is where Celtic still are, bizarrely, if you think about the change of manager. That's,
yeah,
which I would like to see them in European games like tomorrow night, Engels and McGregor, and just play one of either Hatate or Negrin. The transfer window's shut, so people kind of get upset and throw their toys at the pram now. You know, they've got 4 months here anyway, whatever happens.
And one of the things I'm looking for again is some stats about Engels, where so as I understand it, one of the reasons they identified Engels was when we still had a midfield three of Hatate, O'Reilly and McGregor. And they were looking for a player, and I think one of the ideas behind Engels at the time was he's only 20 years of age, so he might not be. So, you know, fans often say once we get to a certain level, maybe if we got players who mainly only played Champions League in the more elite games, if we got people in, because the challenge for Celtic is the player that some of the players that we need for Champions League are nothing like a centre half for Celtic in European football. Trust, he's really good. He's got pace. He can control the ball and pass it. And he's shit against Murray of Dundee in the SPFL, right?
Yeah.
So,
yeah.
So he's shit against the big burly centre forward who roughs him up, like St Mirren have got, like Kilmarnock have got, like Livingston have got. He's crap against that. But actually, trust, his best games last season were in the Champions League, right? Same principle. Engels was 20 years of age. He'll only play about 20 games, but they wanted a tall, more physical player who could play in Champions League football, who could cover the ground. Because one of the things when we are playing at that level is we have less of the ball. So when you have less of the ball, you need a midfielder who just covers the space to stop the opposition playing.
Yeah.
And that's what I was looking up. Engels covered 12 kilometres in last season's Champions League and was in the top five of all players for kilometres covered.
Oh, wow.
In all Champions League games. He carried the ball. He was in the top 25% of players in the Champions League of carrying the ball forward. Key passes, i.e. a pass that leads to a shot on goal, he was in the top 20% in the Champions League last season.
Get him in. So, I hope you're watching. I hope Brendan watches this
tomorrow. So Ingle's best games last season were in the Champions League. I always felt Ingle's problem was because we agreed this, we had Hitati, McGregor, O'Reilly, and Ingle's was to come into that four. It was to be a fourth player in that three to be fitting in. And the price was £6 million on Ingles. And by the time we got the deal done in the last 2 days of the window, O'Reilly's gone and we are desperate buyers and we spend £11 million on him. Therefore, the fans are expecting a better version of Matt O'Reilly.
I've been quite hard on him. Sometimes I don't really know where he fits in, but I'd like to see him fitting in as you know, the two sitters. I'd like to see him like sitting in front of the kind of back four. And then I would probably say, even put Negrin in there, play him as a number 10. Maeda to the right, Tonetke to the left, and Iheanacho through the middle. That's what I'd like to see.
So, no Hitati?
No Hitati. He sometimes, doesn't he always play in European games? But I just think, Negrin this, well, he didn't do much against, I was thinking his European debut, but in terms of competition proper, either one of Hitati or Negrin.
I actually think Hitati looks best in European games when he comes on as a sub round about 60 minutes and plays 40 minutes of football. Under Ange and under Brendan, I think that's when his best European games have been.
Yeah, am I right in thinking, did he come off, he didn't start in the Champions League team, did he?
There was a lot of games last season, from memory. I'm not going to go and look it up when you're...
No, I'm allowed one. You've had two, I'm allowed one.
But from memory, Hitati didn't start a few games last season under Brendan in the Champions League.
I'm pretty sure
away to Dortmund, we started with McGregor, Engels and Bernardo, and that midfield was just visions of Bernardo running back and chasing people who then go on and scored. So I'm pretty sure that was short-lived, as you know, we talked about. I think, unfortunately for Bernardo, I think there was a few games in the Champions League last season where he looked well short of what was needed, and I think Brendan's just decided he's not got a future. He's a player that I wouldn't be surprised if we sold in the January window.
Probably, at the very least, he'll probably go on loan.
And, you know, he's a Portuguese under 21, I think, and he's played Champions League football. He'll probably get money back for him, maybe make a small profit on him even.
Yeah, you would imagine they would.
So, we talked about before we did this, we want to try and keep podcast to about 45 minutes, so we're at the 45-minute mark.
I've now talked myself into a 1-1 here. I've talked myself into a 1-1.
Excellent. So what's the team going to be to get the guess this 1-1?
I was giving you the team.
Aye, so just go through it from Schmeichel at the back.
About Colby Donovan. He said, no qualms whatsoever, no hesitation, he said tonight at the press conference. So I think he's going to play him. And you've got your Cameron Carr-Vickers and his Gales in the middle. Then you've got Tierney. will he play? Maybe I'm talking myself into this, and would he not have given Engels more time on Sunday?
I think he would have given more time on Sunday. I think he's desperate for McGregor, Hitati and Negrin to work, because I think he thinks he'll get goals in that midfield. So I think he's, I read somebody saying he's been pig-headed about it. No, I just think he's a manager thinking, I can make this work if they just play a bit more together.
I think it was me that said he was pig-headed about it. Yeah. No, but I think it was on our chat.
Yeah, but I think sometimes you, as a manager, you might go, I know it's not working, but I can see that if I keep playing it, it will work.
No, I tell a lie. He started, I'm working this out. Hitati started 9 out of the 10 last.
All right, okay. So what's the midfield three going to be?
So you're right then. The midfield three is the midfield three, as it seems right to be.
Yeah. I would like to see Engels in it, but I think that'll be it. And then, so what's your front three going to be? Is Maeda on the right, through the middle, or not starting?
Or do you think he thinks Iheanacho's ready to go with a game like this?
I don't know if he would. I wonder if Iheanacho is maybe a John Hartson type player that actually just needs to play every week.
Yeah. But would he take this risk? Yeah, so the only one he didn't start was, the only one Hitati didn't start, the only one of the 10 he didn't start was Dortmund.
Dortmund, Engels, which was a disaster.
Engels, McGregor, Bernardo, it was.
Yep, so front three.
I think I'm almost talking through a team maybe 4 weeks down the line. Roma. You know, the team, right, I'm talking about is maybe the team he'll play in Roma, but he'll err on the side of, it'll probably be Yang in the right, Maeda, sorry, Tanecki in the left and Maeda through the middle, won't it?
I think it probably will be, yeah. But I would like to see Maeda right, Tanecki left, Iheanacho through the middle.
Yeah, me too.
I mean, I think probably there's an argument of Maeda's bad enough in terms of technical ability on his left foot. don't stick him down the right. But we'll see. We'll see what he does. So who's getting the goal that's going to get us to one each?
It'd be too much to think it's your wee Tunisian fella again, eh?
Right.
But yeah, it might more likely Yang. Because it was almost like, once people found out on Sunday it was Yang, it's like, oh, it was Yang. You know, it was like, can you work out, was that a goal? And it's like, is that a goal? Is that a goal? Oh, Yang. Right, then. It was like, actually.
Right, so we're going for 1-1. Right, magic.
Going for 1-1.
Yes, and as I said at the beginning of the podcast, we're not avoiding the fan protest stuff that happened at Partick Thistle. We just want to do a podcast that's just that and have three or four views on it. So,
yeah,
because you and I are...
We're still behind it. We're still behind it, people.
You and I are just a bit older. Yes, you and I are a bit older. I might be a bit more jaundiced about it than someone like Ross, who's a young spring chicken.
Yeah, my boy certainly seemed to enjoy the protests and all that. When I got back from Ireland last night, he was telling me all about it. So it's a young man's game. It's a young man's game.
Right. With that, I'll say, Andrew, thanks very much.
Thank you.
Bring me sunshine in your smile. We hope you enjoyed that podcast. There will be more along soon. Please share the joy of Celtic Underground. Rate us wherever you can find us on your podcast provision, and also subscribe to thecelticunderground.substack.com. As you'll be aware, there are two types of subscription. There's free subscription, where you get a certain amount of content delivered directly to your email address. And then there's a paid-for subscription, where you get even more content delivered directly to your email address as and when it comes out. Anyway, enough of me. We hope you enjoyed the podcast. And this is me, Harry Brady, saying good night and God bless. Good night. Bring me sunshine in your smile. Bring me laughter all the while. In this world where we live, there should be more happiness. So much joy you can give to each brand new bright tomorrow. Make me happy through the years. Never bring me
and it is. Let your arms be as warm as the sun from up above. Bring me fun, bring me sunshine, bring me